Lindsay, would you like to hear the story of why I have two watches and two phones?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so as you kind of know, because I switched to Apple right as I came up to visit you.
I recently switched
to Apple. So.
Right.
Things are fine because so many people are in the Apple system. It's going to be that type of podcast. Anyway, so many people are in that ecosystem, you know, like my kids have the iPad, so it worked. It's easy. I had switched my wife to Apple and she was content and happy. So we're all in the little Apple bubble, but, you know, just not a huge fan of Apple still. Got the watch and the watch was kind of disappointing, but it was useful because I never like to pull my phone out of my pocket. And so yelling at my wrist is great, but everyone thinks that I'm talking to them. I'm like, I'm talking to my fucking wrist, okay? I'm talking to my wrist. I'm not talking to you. They're just like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see a phone. I'm like, I know, because there's one on my fucking arm, all right? On my arm. Leave me alone.
So it's linked to your phone. So you have a phone that goes with the watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Like, okay. Like answer calls. Mostly I just talk to the assistant whose name I can't say because she likes to interrupt shit and be like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I was talking to you. She's like, well, that's rude. And I'm like, shut the fuck up again. But, it was fine, whatever. But then I've always been a Pixel fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Pixel 7 came out and I really like their camera app. Like, I don't know if I can express how much I like their camera app. Their camera app is probably one of the most amazing technological things out there, in my personal opinion.
Oh.
I really, really like it. So I had this old phone sitting around. They had to trade in. They have this Pixel Pass thing. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just try trading the old phone. That way, if I don't, I can always just swap my iPhone to my work phone and do that or whatever. So I trade in this old phone and they give me they gave me like half the phone off for doing this trade.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, okay, well, and then I'm doing like monthly payments. So I was like, well, $18 a month. Like, who the fuck cares? Like at that point, like I could cancel Netflix and pay for this phone. Done. But then I have two phones because I was like, well, at first I switched my SIM, but then I was kind of missing out on the iPhone features that I like. Because as I've said before to you, Lindsay, the things Apple does, there's like five of them I really like. And there's five things that Google does that I really like. And then everything else in between is all broken and shitty the same. It's like different things are broken on different things. So if I could just mesh those two together, it'd be great.
So is this your attempt to do it?
It was my attempt. It's a work in progress, everyone, okay? Because I also have a work phone. I have three phones. I was carrying three phones for a week. Like,
wow.
Yeah, trying to figure this out,
How do you do that?
A lot of pockets. I wear cargo pants at work intentionally. So I started doing that just because I didn't want two phones in one pocket. So I was like, I need to fucking balance this shit. Otherwise, I'm going to be, have my drawers drop on the left side for the rest of my life. So yeah, I get the cargos, put one in one pocket, one on the other side, balances out, everything's good. Belt stays up, okay? But then I discovered, eSIM, you can dual SIM a phone. So I was like, I can just put my work one onto my personal one. That eliminates that. And I stuck with this Google one. And I got the Pixel Watch with it because I wanted to see it. And then that made me appreciate the Apple Watch because the Pixel Watch and all the Google watches are shit compared. They are nowhere near the Apple one. And I was just like, oh man, this Apple one's real good now. But then the holidays hit and I traveled, so I haven't had time to return anything. So I've just been using it like, yeah, fuck it, I'll try it. Like, why not? I have time to return shit. So, but that's why I'm wearing two watches. Two phones.
Three.
And I'm really thinking about just dividing my friends and be like, what are you on? You're on Android? I'm just going to talk to you on the Android phone. Because I pay next to nothing for my cellular because I use Mint Mobile. And I'm trying this Google Fi thing, which might be affordable too, especially if I'm just using mostly data. So I'm just like, So I'm insane and wasting money. But, it's my life. Leave me alone. My wife didn't hear any of this. She doesn't know any of this.
Oh.
Thank God she doesn't listen to the podcast. But like, yeah, now everyone's like, oh, you're so pretentious, you have two. And I've decided I'm 40. If I want to have two fucking phones and do jack all on one of them, I'm going to do it. Like, whatever, you know? What else am I living for other than stupid shit like this, you know? So judge me if you want. I'm at a point in my life where I can afford to have two phones. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So, you know, whatever. It's been fun. Either way, I'm yelling at one wrist and it confuses people. And I kind of like that. So
do you wear them on two different wrists?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not a total asshole. Come okay. It makes me feel like a superhero because I'm just like, ooh, I got like Quasar bands on or some shit. So, yeah. Fucking same wrist. Come on. This is in the 90s, Lindsay, when I did that. My parents bought me two watches. Everyone just kept buying me watches for Christmas. And I was like, I'm wearing all these. I just put them all on. I was just like, there you go. I got the time for Tokyo right here. Because it was pre-internet days, you know. You had to do math and know someone who could tell you the time in Tokyo. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Time to animate. Oh, sorry. I stepped on that.
No, it was good. I stepped on it. Shit. Let's anime.
Yakuza, yakuza, so let's anime. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm jet lag Dustin.
And I've got a fun theme here with my selections today.
I bet it's romance.
Why do you bet that?
Told you, don't spoil anything for me.
Okay, so technically my theme is unrealistic co-ed living situations.
Oh, okay, that's actually way better. She's like, everyone was supposed to guess, but Dustin ruined it, so I have to.
How many guessed it?
One guy was like, I did. I'm watching this season. I knew.
Well, I know you know the one I'm going to talk about, so I'm just going to get that out. Oh, wait, did you want to go first? I'm sorry, I'm just like
steamrolling through here. No, fucking go. You are on okay. A roll.
So I have been keeping up kind of with More Than a Married Couple but Not Lovers, because I got to say, I like the cheesecake.
Oh, it's so good.
It is hella sexy.
I think everyone's enjoying this one. Even if they're not admitting it, I think everyone's enjoying this one.
How do they do those lips? Oh my gosh, the lips on these girls alone.
Very kissable. Very kissable.
Yes.
I mean, there are teenage boys mashing their penis on TV screens and computers. Oh God, I thought it was so real. I don't know. Timmy, what are you doing? Oh God, it's anime again, isn't it? Oh. He's like, I don't know what happened, Mom. It's just, they're so goddamn, they're great drawn lips. I'm just saying. She's like, all the mouth on you. That's what I said about her.
So this morning I'm having breakfast with my mom and she was asking what I had today. And I said, oh, the podcast. She's like, are you ready for it? Yes. I was like, I think so. I just need to watch like two more episodes of this one. It's kind of cheesecakey. My mom goes, what the hell is cheesecake? And I said, it's sexy. And she goes, anime?
Anime is sexy? Are you fucking kidding me right now, Lindsay? I just picture she wipes her mouth. She's like, I have to check. I have to leave. I've heard some shit in my life.
Yeah.
I bet we could get your mom to watch this. She'd be like, oh my.
No, she doesn't believe drawn up cartoon characters are real.
Suspend your disbelief, Mom. Jeez.
That's why no matter what the storyline is, she goes, it's not real. And I'm like, and a movie is?
Yeah, it's real people jumping from fucking skyscraper to skyscraper. Okay? All right? Kissing upside down. Yeah. Really happened.
But I had to share that real quick.
Oh, that's a great story.
Anime?
We're going to sell shirts of your mom saying anime now.
Anime is sexy?
No, I was going to say, let's anime. And on the back, I'm like, anime is sexy? I'm making that shirt, everyone. Probably not before this podcast goes up. So if you steal it, then... Well, I hope he makes money off of it, because we won't.
TM.
They're like, you have to actually file for that to count. You can't just say it. This is an Animaniacs.
So, I guess back to this anime, the cheesecakey anime.
What is it again? It's more than...
More than a married couple, but not lovers.
Not lovers.
Yeah.
It's a dumb title.
Are you all? It is, because.
Oh yeah, no, I saw the peaches in the sky, Lindsay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they were total peaches.
Yeah, I was just like, how many are they going to shoot upside down, huh? How about we answer that question? We haven't talked about this since like episode one.
I think one, because didn't it end with him kissing her goodbye when she was being... She loves to flirt with him. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's... It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually I root for someone, you know? It's not always the one that gets picked. See previous episode. Sorry, I ruined that movie for everyone before most of you can see it legally, by the way. I was like, oh, this hasn't released yet? Oh, internet, you fucked me.
I know, it's coming out in theaters over here. I think next weekend.
Yes, it is. No, I think it was this weekend. This weekend.
Actually. Oh, it's this weekend. Okay. Yeah.
Because I saw someone I follow on Twitter is like, my full review's coming and it's amazing. And I was like, what the fuck? No, we did not see the same movie, first of all. Second of all, it just came out. Fuck internet, you fucked me. People are. There's not going to be as many ticket sales now. Hopefully. Anyway, I don't know who to root for. I'm really conflicted, like our characters.
Yeah. Like,
and I think that's why this is good, because I'm, and that's rare. Usually I'm just like, nope, I like that one. That one wins. Oh, I'm disappointed. Fuck you, show. But
this so you time like I'm really both? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
The childhood friend I am angry at, though, but.
Oh, for acting all awkward?
No, for cutting him off when he was trying to confess when they were younger.
Oh.
It's a scorn I feel for him. Like, I'll be mad for him.
Well, you know, he cut her off too. Although she was beating around the bush.
She was going nowhere with that. There's
no, there was, there. No, she had something else to say.
I think it would have been sad. But anyway, go ahead. This is your show. You take.
Oh gosh. Okay. So
I don't remember everything very clearly on this one. Up until it kind of erases the previous episode with how much cheesecake is in the one episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm mixing up my animes. Okay. Jiro.
Jiro. Yes.
And Akari.
Akari. Only two names I'll remember because they say their names constantly now.
They do. And childhood friend is Shiori.
Mm-hmm.
And Minami is the Gyaru's crush, Akari.
He's a douche.
Yeah, I think he is.
You know who I'm not rooting for? That guy.
Yeah, I don't.
Fuck that guy.
They haven't really done anything with him.
And still fuck that guy.
But yeah, he's just, he's kind of just like not there.
Yeah.
So they've got a, she's always teasing him. Akari loves to tease Jiro. And she gets them all hot and bothered, and she knows it. And then, yeah, she's a big tease.
I mean, I think some of it's sincere, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think she gets carried away sometimes. And yeah. Because some of it's sincere, that's why she gets carried away, I think. But at first, they're not doing very well. Then they're doing great. They make it to, like, B level, and they're, like, so excited because when they get to A level, they get to switch partners, and they both want to switch with Shiori and Minami, but they're not doing well.
Yeah, they're flunking.
Yeah. So Jiro gives Shiori a kind of a pep talk, and he's like, hey, you can do it. Oh, sorry, my cat's downstairs making noise. Scared me.
Knock it off, cat. Don't scare people.
And then Akari and Jiro have a big fight about something. I think she takes her teasing too far, and he ends up, although part of her was kind of like, okay, I'll really do this. I think that was when she was daring him to do it with her, right? And he said no, or was it just a kiss?
Trying to remember.
But he kind of rejects her advances.
So she's kind of just almost like I took it as she's feeling for him. He says some rude shit, though. He says something like, you know, I'm not as, you know, advanced as you in this stuff. And she still hasn't really said, like, either am I, because she's
playing a part.
Yeah, she's playing the character. She's not actually as sexually advanced or anything. So, like, her first kiss was his first kiss, you know?
Yeah.
And so they get kind of, kind of in the dumps because, and then they fall to F because they're, like, not talking to each other, not doing anything. And and then I think episode 4 is one of my favorites with the friend. And he's doing that whole character thing.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. It's called A Hero But Not the Main Character.
That was when Shiori and Minami are doing better, and Akari is alone in the storage room or something with Minami, and so she was like, hey, are you gonna switch partners if you guys make it to A rank? And he's kind of like, no, kind of thinking I'd like to just stay with her, which makes her all sad.
And then it looks like they're kissing, and I think
they're
kind of patched up at that point or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was like knocking dust off of her.
Awkwardly close in the main.
Yeah, main way too close. Song. Yeah, and so he's like, oh my god.
I want to know who his wife is.
I know. He talks about her, and he's just like, we argue all the time.
I think it's the redhead Garu.
Oh.
Based on this latest episode. That's my guess. Because she asked him to do something, and he's like way too quick to do it. And I was like, is it her? That'd be great. But like, they never talk about his. So I'm just like, Or show his, I should say. They
yeah.
loosely talk about it, but never show it.
And he doesn't seem all that invested or really caring.
No, he likes 3D girls.
Yeah.
He said that in episode one.
Real girls aren't 3D girls.
E computer girls.
Oh, okay. So then he makes this big scene because he ends up stuck with both couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I just remember him on the ground, and he
keeps doing like video game scenes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like on the ground. He's just like, oh no, what will I do?
But nothing ended up resolving or he didn't even end up saying anything. I think they just ended up going their separate ways and there was just more awkwardness.
Yeah, he tells him later, though, that they...
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, oh, he was just getting dust out of my eye. So.
And so...
And I think that's when she tells him, like, my first kiss was with you, actually. And that's when they kind of patch things up.
Yeah, and then they're
like, I was her first kiss. Oh my god.
They're working together more. And then she wants him to use her first name because he always calls her by her surname.
Yeah.
And so then that becomes a thing.
Yeah, now they won't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden.
But it was really cute and funny when she started calling him. He was like, shit, what'd I do? She's calling my last name again.
Yes. And nothing else was, he goes, she's still friendly. She seems in a good mood. What have I done wrong?
Yeah. And I was like, welcome to the plight of every man ever. You will never leave this sensation. You never have the answer to that question. Yours was easy, motherfucker. Yours was easy.
Yes. And then he does it. Then he calls her Akari, and she's just like, oh, Jiro. Yeah, and he goes, that was it? It was seriously? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. Seriously, Jiro. Seriously. It is that sometimes easy. But you will never know, and they will never tell you. And you'll just be lost and confused out in the wilderness with no fire, no camp. Wolves at the door.
And then there's the episode where Shiori gets hit in the head with a rogue soccer ball.
Yeah, something. A basketball, maybe, or something? I don't remember.
Some sports ball used in sports.
Maybe a dodgeball. She was in the circle, so she got hit.
Yeah.
The Bakersfield circle, you know.
It's probably a dodgeball.
Yeah.
And is in the nurse's office, and so her friend, who knows that Shiori likes Jiro,
and she likes Shiori.
Oh sure. Yeah, she totally likes Shiori, but yeah. She is super cool. Like the way that girl confessed to her and she turned her down, it was so cool.
Oh, that was the coolest turn down confession I've seen in an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Especially she's like, can you just grant my wish and say my first name once? She's, of course I can. She's like, come here, baby. Let's hug it out.
And get out. And his friend are watching and they're like amazed. They're like, oh my God, she's so cool.
Yeah.
So she sends him to visit her in the nurse's office. And she had kept urging Shiori to kiss Jiro. And she goes, you have to start making moves before he starts making moves with his wife.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird to say.
This show is teaching infidelity for relationships.
So
marrying kids off way too young.
And they end up sharing a kiss because at first she was like, I want to practice with you. Will you practice with me? And he's like, oh, okay.
He's like, and then me? Fuck yeah. Like no guy needs that question asked twice. Like, he was like, yeah, if I'm cool enough for you to do that, like there was only slight hesitation, but not enough to cast any doubt on his decision.
Yeah. And then she was changing her mind at the last minute when the other Gyaru walks in. What's her name?
I don't know.
Akari's friend.
Yeah,
Akari's friend walks in. And I don't know if he ended up falling on top of her or if he was just like, let's go for it.
No, he fell somehow. I think because he was already in motion and then he got surprised and then he fell forward.
Okay, and, so he fell on top of her.
Yeah.
And those lovely shiny lips.
A kiss happened.
A kiss happened. But
and then someone paused the television and was...
Akari's friend thought it was more than that because she was like, the bed's creaking. I saw two pairs of shoes. And so she tells...
I saw 17 prophylactics thrown on the floor. Clearly, I had no idea what they were doing.
She tells Akari, and right then Akari, because she had been texting Jiro and wasn't getting a response, all of a sudden, he's like, hey, I was in the nurse's office with Shiori. She hit her head. And she's like, putting two and two together. So she doesn't come home. And Jiro is up waiting for her, and he gets into some special chocolates that a friend had given that neither of them knew had whiskey in it.
Oh, yeah. And he gets sloshed.
Yep. Passed out on the couch. And she comes home and...
takes advantage of him. How dare she?
I know. My goodness.
Yeah. She gets all up in there and they sleep cold in the living room. I was like, God, get a blanket first at least. Jesus.
I know. And then when he wakes up in the morning, she's like, what? You're so mean. You don't even remember our first time. And... gives him a heart attack and then says, I'm kidding, just kidding. Although never really offers an explanation for why she is sleeping next to him in her underwear.
No, she tricks him. Remember, she tricks him. He's like, because then he says, well, I'm sorry, my first time was so bad. And so she's like, it's really your first time? And he's like, yeah, if we really did it, then yes, it's my first time. So it removed the doubt from her mind that he was banging in the nurse's office.
Oh, got it. Oh, I see.
Very clever. It was a very clever way.
Yes, very clever. And then, what was the last episode? Oh, the fireworks.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with, like, them helping Shiri with the trash.
Yes. Story. Yeah.
And he and his friend get roped in by Akira's friends. They're like, hey, slouch son.
Yes. And he's goes, like,
he must be talking about you. She's like, I'm talking about both of you.
Both slouching.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey, why don't you two hold the trash together? And she's like, can we switch? And he's, I love the little inner video game where he's just like, my heart.
Yes.
Like the little video game things they add, I'm like, God, I wish there was more, but they're so good.
Yeah.
I mean, their inner monologue's really good too, where it's just like, feels like genuine thoughts of these characters.
Yes. Definitely. And sometimes I don't know when they're talking out loud and when it's just their thoughts.
It's very seamless.
It's good. Yeah.
Like, well, I feel that's like very genuine because I mean, like, that's what we all do. Like, we all are, you know, you'll be thinking and then just answer a question and then go back to thinking. You're just like, you know, it's just, I think they do a really good job of balancing and mixing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Friends are
concerned.
Yes.
They're like, do you just love him because he's there or because you love him? And that's when I was like, huh, damn show. No one ever asked that question. And that's a great question because,
yeah,
what's in front of you is usually the most convenient. And that's why it's happening. But, yeah, what if it was just anyone else? would it still be happening? Or is it because they have a connection? You know, and that, and this is that kind of eternal question that haunts love, I feel like. But I was just like, good on you, show. Damn. Damn, because now I'm questioning everything about them. Fuck. And that's why I can't root for anyone, because I'm just like, oh, is she? And then she really does seem like it's just convenience that she's there. But then he does good guy stuff where I'm like, well, but is he doing that just because she's there? Would he do that for any girl that's there? God, I wish they'd fuck already, man. If I see her rubbing up on him on the couch one more time, fuck. Like, he just, how he's not just popping wood all the time, so. Like, when he's doing her yaku, what is it called?
Yukata.
Yukata.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, take it away, Lindsay.
So it's fireworks festival, and her friends, Akari's friends, help her out by getting Minami and his friends to come meet them at the fireworks festival. Cause she's like, this is perfect. We'll be there to support you. You can see if your feelings for Minami are really are still there and go back to, you know, obsessing over him like you always do. Cause she did kind of cool off on that. Cause in the first few episodes, everything was Minami, Minami, Minami.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's really cool. Well, she has a lot of
assumptions about him too, which.
Yeah. Yes. So she takes, you know, extra time on her hair and her makeup and has Jiro help her with her yukata, making it sure everything's just perfect. And Minami has to work and he can't come to the festival. And she's disappointed.
And then some random new guy is introduced. And I was like, who the fuck's that guy? I was like, fuck that guy too. We're not adding this guy in. I don't care. She said she likes fish. And they were like, dude, I'm pretty sure she meant to eat fish.
Yes.
What else, a fucking pet fish?
Yeah, so she's disappointed, but she's kind of like, okay, we'll try again another time. But then she sees Minami and Shiori walking through the festival.
Yeah.
And her heart breaks.
Big time.
And I
was like, that son of a bastard! How can he do this to her?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy!
Oh my gosh, I so felt for her. Oh my, because I've totally been there before where you think you're going to see a guy and you pay special attention and everything. And then he is with somebody else and your heart just breaks.
Oh.
And you go hide in a corner and cry.
Sometimes that corner is in front of your own house.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was a misunderstanding and they were just cutting through the festival and Shiori was on her way home and Minami was on his way to work. But
exactly. Bullshit on that.
I do too.
That festival is full as fuck. That's the shortcut? I don't think so.
No, yeah. You're not saving any time cutting through that wave.
He knew that they were all going to be there? I think he did it intentionally. Made me hate him more.
Stupid Minami.
Yeah, he was literally called into work because they were busy. And he's like, let me just detour through the festival real quick.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, shouldn't you already be there? Shouldn't you have?
Something's up with that guy. All he cares about is his college application, and that's weird. You're a teenage boy. You're in the exact same situation as Jiro, and Jiro is popping wood 24/7 at these situations. What's wrong with that guy?
So, she does end up calling Jiro, and just how she didn't say anything at first, and then she has like a little stifled sob, and I'm just like, oh, Jiro, go find her. Go to her. And he didn't have to go very far.
But would he have done that for anyone else? I don't know.
Shiori. I think he'd have done that for Shiori.
Yeah. But what if it was someone... You know, for her, there's reason, there's a history. But what if there's just some random other person he was switched with?
I don't think so.
They answer that in season two when he switches with some third person.
Kari's, man, do I love her outfits and her accessories, and she's just, she is
I like her underwear.
The tie on.
I like that we get to see it all the time. I like the moments where he feels embarrassed and she also feels embarrassed but hides it better than him.
Yes.
Like, he's like, excuse me. And she's like, why are you saying excuse me? Just fucking rap me. And he's just like, and then it goes to his thoughts. He's like, are you kidding me? I can like fucking feel everything. You feel so thin and like, you know, like you're like you could break right now. And I just like the description that he said was like really good. And then it shows her and she's like fucking breathing hard.
Yeah.
Hand over her crotch. I was just like, what are you doing over there? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, get out of here.
So needless to say, I'm really enjoying it actually. I think the animation's cool.
The animation's and great. Yeah.
It's fun and it's cheesecake. It's some good old cheesecake.
There's gonna be some heartbreak, Lindsay.
No!
There's been plenty of heartbreak, but I feel like there's no way the story can't have heartbreak.
I know.
Yeah, it's good. I really like it. I really like when they're just kind of like, when she just kind of presses against him and stuff. And he thinks it's teasing, but I really think she just feels really comfortable with him. Which,
yeah.
You know, it goes back to the question, is it just because it's him and he's, is it because it's him or because he's there? You know,
yeah. Isn't.
So, but yeah. Like, comfort doesn't necessarily just come because you're in the same shared space all the time. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. I like it. I like the descriptions. I do wish they would make her character more, I don't know, less whatever you want-ish. Like, she's always trying to do stuff for Mimi-kun or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, Minami?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to call him Mimi.
What I want.
But, like, when, and the same thing with Jiro, though. She was like, do the bow that you want. Do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Like, engage. Be a part of this. Like, have her make decisions, too. Because, like, I think that would change the dynamic of the story again in a good, like, in a good way if she gets to that point. So, instead of being, like, yeah, kind of a passive person in the story.
Yeah. I do feel like her whole character is because she thinks that's what guys want, what guys like.
Exactly, yeah. So, and I know this isn't a Kari finding herself story, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, maybe it should be, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But still very enjoyable. Very,
yes.
Very trashy. Anime? So.
So what have you been watching, Dustin?
I'm going to go to something I watched actually a couple of weeks ago. Did I talk about the Immortal Day Life of the Immortal King season 2 last time? I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
Well, is that the one with the gods?
What?
No. Where there's like those gods and they were like fighting.
No. That's no. God, I wish season 2 of that was out. No, The Daily Life of the Immortal King is the Chinese show. or it's actually like a Chinese anime. And he has like so much spiritual power that's like locked away and everyone uses spiritual power and they're in high school. And he has like a frog dog. You remember the frog dog? Froggy 2? Yeah.
I feel like I'd remember a frog dog. At least I hope I would.
I talked about it. Well, okay. I definitely talked about it, so I guess okay. everyone else will not be confused.
Okay. Nothing new.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what will help you remember. Like, basically, like, there was a demon that came, it got sealed away, and it was a frog, and then he kind of broke the seal, and then he ended up turning it into a dog. Uh-huh. And then that dog is, like, their kind of friend and companion. And then there's this really rich girl who keeps trying to win his affection because she tried to do a love romance spell on him, and it ended up being reversed onto her, so now she was in love with him. And they did a school competition thing where they had to put swords in different spots. I mean, I know I talked about this. I'm just trying to refresh your memory, Lindsay.
Okay.
It may be the memory of the audience, but... Well, okay. So it ended with him rewinding time and kind of erasing everyone's memories because otherwise the planet was going to blow up.
Psyche K?
In a way, yeah. Well, actually, no. He didn't rewind time. He had to... go to a parallel timeline and destroy the timeline where they remembered everything in order to save the planet. So similar, but a little different nuances, okay. You know? So now season two, and these are again, like they're like 13 to 14 minutes long. Like there's no real consistency to them. there's also an assassin woman trying to kill the main girl.
The rich girl?
Yeah, the rich girl. But they ended up capturing her at the end because she was disguised as one of the students, too. They captured her. Excuse me. No one can remember anything. Moving on. We're at season two. Sword Festival's been canceled because... Or whatever.
Because...
Yeah, they were like, it's too dangerous to go on. So, season two, we meet the Demon King that's trying to, like, invade the planet, and that's where Froggy 2 came from. He was a Demon King. Apparently, he goes and he just, like, sucks out all the spiritual energy from a place, and then he, you know, just either enslaves or destroys a civilization. So, he has all these... All his demons are just former, you know, conquered planets and timelines and shit. So, which is relevant later. But so now they're trying to make contact with Froggy 2 because they were like, it's been like 3 years in demon time or something, or 3 days in demon time, which I guess is like 100 years in human time or some shit. I don't know, or like however many years it is. Like the time doesn't add up the same. Okay. But now, you know, it's they're doing this doomsday. They call it the doomsday device where they go and they shock you with electricity to see if you can like block it with your magical or your spiritual force or whatever.
Okay.
It's really, it doesn't make any sense. Like it'll never make any sense. I'm doing the best I can, everyone. Okay. Like it literally made no fucking sense. All right.
Okay.
And then they go back to it. And it still made no sense. I was just like, what the fuck? What do you mean? Why would you call a device a doomsday device if it prevents doomsdays, but then also fails at that task? Just saying. Maybe it's not a doomsday device. So. but so they stand on the doomsday device and electricity or lightning comes down and zaps them. And they have to build their, like, chi bubble to prevent it. And if anyone in the elite class doesn't do it, they're out of the class. So, rich girl, no problem. Jockey guy, I forget what. Like, he wears a yellow t-shirt. I'm just going to call him the jockey yellow t-shirt guy. Okay. His father is, like, from the long line of, like they do stuff more old school. So,
do you mean jockey like sports jock or jockey like who rides horses?
Sports jock, but okay. When I say jock, I mean like he's kind of a muscly idiot.
Okay. That
type of jock.
So, probably the opposite of a jockey.
Most definitely. No one's riding horses in this, Lindsay. They fly in fucking swords. No one's riding a horse. Horses are extinct. Okay. They were like, we don't fucking need them. Kill them all with the magic swords. Done. That's right, everyone. I just killed horses. All right. So there was no confusion on what a jockey was. And so he passes, whatever. And then it's the fat one, his turn. And he's like, what's this main guy's fucking name? I don't remember. Hold on. I figure it out because.
Nope.
All terrible. These credits are shit. They're shit fuck credits. Oh. Wang Ling. That seems kind of obvious now that I think about it. So anyway, Ling, they're like, the fat one goes to, I'm just calling the fat one. I'm sorry. It's the only descriptor for him. He literally has no personality. He's just the fat guy there. He goes to Ling and he's just like, hey man. Because again, Ling's energy is sealed. So it appears on their normal charts and scales and everything that he has zero. So they call him double zero usually, like as an insult to him. He's like, hey, we're both going to fucking fail this. So come help me cook some golden pills in the student lab real quick. That should chee us up just in time to pass this and we'll be good. So they go to the lab and they're doing it. And he's just helping him because he'll be fine. He doesn't care. So they end up getting busted by the 50-year-old teacher who has 16-year-old legs. And she wears a mini skirt. It's very confusing. You look at her face, you're like, you're 50. You look at her legs, you're like, you're 16 and banging. You look at her face, you're 50. You look at her legs, 16 and banging. What the fuck? So 18 and banging. I'm raising it. All right.
Okay.
Not trying to be weird here. But she's confusing these prepubescent boys that are around the age of 16. Okay.
Got That's it. Where I was going. Okay.
With her 18-year-old legs. Oh, God. Why am I doing this today? Anyway, Lindsay. She busts them. He ends up eating both the golden pills and pretty much like shitting himself because he has so much fucking energy. But he barely passes in and he makes it. And then Ling goes up. They zap him. And because of his energy and shit, basically it's going to go until he runs out of energy for some reason, which is never going to happen. So they have to pull the gigantic, and I mean this in all seriousness, the gigantic plug from the machine that is right next to the machine. And they cannot do it, Lindsay. And I'll tell you why. And they make a joke about it later, but the joke pissed me off as much as the scene did. Giant plug. Just like picture any plug that you plugged into the wall. How do you pull it out, Lindsay? Do you just, you pull it away from the plug, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they pull it to the side. So they have this giant 10-foot fucking plug that like 9 of them are trying to pull from the side instead of pulling up. And they can't do it, so then they have to cut it, or his sword has to cut it, his wooden sword that has a boy trapped in it, because they all have spirit creatures in it, and he has a little boy.
Oh.
Because it's young, not because it's weird, everyone, okay? It's a young sword. He is not grown up yet. When he ages, he'll grow up, okay?
So all the spirit creatures continue aging in their swords?
Well, yeah, they all have a spirit person, not like creature. Well, sometimes they come out a little like chibi form when they're when they don't have a lot of power, they'll come out like chibi form. But his is like an 8-year-old kid. He comes out, he cuts the cord, and because of all the energy, he ends up ripping a fucking hole to the demon world, and some demons keep like creeping through or whatever. Okay, God, this first episode is taking me a long time just to try to get you to remember the fucking show. So, we have a way for our demons to come in, okay?
Okay.
Then we meet a new character. Actually, then we go back in time. No, hold on, sorry. We go back in time. And we meet this badass assassin guy and his beautiful assassin partner in crime. And they're on this airplane. She's told to sit down. This hits familiar to me right now.
She's adjusting her underwear.
I don't think she was wearing any underwear, actually, to be honest. But she didn't want to sit down. She's like, fuck down. And he's like, just sit the fuck down. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're trying to land this plane, this magic plane that's like, and no joke, shaped like a giant sword. It's just like, what's shaped like a sword? And it goes back to the day where he, the little boy, the immortal king guy, beat the demon frog that showed up because the demon frog got in his way while he was eating his fucking noodle thing. And the demon frog ended up shooting a blast, hitting the plane. Guess who didn't have a seatbelt on? They got sucked away.
The assassin lady.
The assassin lady. And she got sucked into the demon realm somehow.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you don't wear underwear.
Well, she found some over there, I guess.
Oh.
So, turns out the beautiful assassin guy, who was literally called, like, the fat guy talks about him all the time. He's just like, oh, he's literally, or I think his name was, like, Undying Beauty or something. Like, that was the dude's name, was Undying Beauty, the most beautiful assassin. Turns out to be their fat teacher. They're just like, okay. But now, the demon world is, like, trying to kill the rich girl again for some reason. I don't know why anyone's trying to kill her, but they think she's the one doing all the super powerful stuff, but it's actually him. And so it sets out the sequence of events. They meet a new character. She's living in the school because she's so poor, and they're just like, they take pity on her and make her their friend, and she like fixes spiritual swords, polishes them up all real good and stuff, and then they make her her own sword, which I'll get to in a second. Actually, I'm jumping ahead. But so the assassin chick shows back up. It turns out her sister is the one they captured in the end of season one and have trapped in the basement for some reason. She shows up to kill her because she's like, you failed your fucking mission with the demons. And I know you're the one that fucked me on the, or fucked me over and kept me in this, in like indentured, like servant or servitude to these demons and shit. So she's real pissed at her. But then Fatso shows up and he's just like, he's like, baby, is that you? And so they're just like, and they just fall back in love. And he has like a secret lair underneath the school. And they go back there to fuck and they find all the students in his elevator.
Is he really chubby or?
Yeah, he's really chubby. Like he was really
ugly. It's not a disguise.
Not a disguise. No, she's like, you got so fat. He's like, I ate every time I was sorry. Or I was
sad. He was sad.
And then he smacks his gut and it wobbles. And I was just like, what the fuck? Really sell me on his sadness right now. So, yeah, it was supposed to be romantic, but everyone else's face was like, what? So, and then she just clings to him the rest of the season, no matter where he goes. Like, he's teaching a class and she's just on his arm, like all in love, and then all the students are like, what the fuck, who's that? And he's just like, don't worry about this, just, we're never gonna be apart again, okay, ever. And then Froggy 2's, they decided to do like a home visit for Wang Ling. Fucking flip those vowels. Wang Ling. Also known as Wing Lang. But and then Froggy 2's supervisor is coming to check on him. And so they're trying to make Ling, they're trying to find a different, like, because he has this talisman on his neck, basically, that he can't see. And it, like, prevents his power from releasing, but it also stifles his personality. So they try to give him more personality by trying different talismans that still lock in his power. And then one makes him, like, very studious. Like, he does all of his homework for the year while she's there. He's like, he's not a very active student. He's like, here's all my homework, ma'am. He's like, it'll never happen again, ma'am. Jesus is like, who the fuck is this? And then they give him one where it turns him into like kind of like a stoner, and he starts making all the things come to life in the house, like all the pictures and everything. And then finally they're just like, you know what, just put the original on him, fuck it, whatever. But during that, when they're switching them out, Mysterio with an orange or a yellow sun crown shows up. That's Froggy 2's supervisor. And he gets vaporized by the Immortal King's power expulsion. And then his little like sun crown thing that he was floating over his head. Wang Ling. I'm going to say it wrong forever. Picks it up and he's just like, so later when they're making the girl the sword, they all steal all these like valuable artifacts to make the sword for her. Cause it's like whatever you put in builds up the strength of the sword. So he just breaks it in half and throws it in the furnace. They're like, what the fuck was that? He's like, I don't know. Found it. And it's like this super powerful demon device. And it turns her sword into like this demon weapon that can like steal your soul.
So, oh, yeah. Oops.
And then we go through a sequence where the rich girl is no longer rich due to demons helping her father's rival, who we met previously in the other season two. He wears a yin sign shaved into his head. And then we meet the father and he has a dollar sign shaved into the side of his head. And I was like, you guys are assholes. But they use the demon to basically bankrupt the father's company. And so they have to go to their family plot, basically, which is a waterfall that is running out of water, and they're dressed like cave people and they're swinging from fucking vines and shit. And I was like, what's happening here? And they're like, we gotta save her. And then the rival family has a solution. They're like, hey, let's have our kids marry. We'll be watering the bridge. We won't hate you anymore. And then that doesn't happen because then he ends up fighting this demon that's like sucking all the spiritual energy out of their water. He kills it, and then all the water comes back and flows backwards for some reason. Everyone's just like, hey, the water's restored. Yay. And I was like, it's going backwards. What the fuck? Anyone gonna? Eh, whatever. And then there's a really weird episode, Lindsay, where.
Then there's a weird episode.
Well, more weird episode. So then they start the final thing where. There's a dumb episode where they're doing like a sword competition thing on TV, and everything's to make her fail on a national level for some reason. I don't know. It's really just stupid. And but then all hell breaks loose. All the demons are attacking, whatever. And he's like, I'm gonna fuck shit up. Wait, no, I'm jumping ahead. No, okay, so. Some demon guy tries to do basically the love spell, but like an angry spell on her, to where they all hate her. Because if they all hate her, then they take all that negative energy, and then they'll be superpowered. Wang finds out, and he changes the spell, and so now the entire world loves her. But it's not quite the same spell as the first season. Now they're all kind of mindless zombies towards her. And so the entire planet is like mindless love zombies that are trying to attack her. So they have to get to a space station in space to broadcast a cancellation. Oh, she has to reject the world because when she's like, I don't love you like that. And then one guy's like, oh, my heart. And then he snaps out of it. And they're just like, oh, that works. And she's like, oh, man, we're going to be here forever if I got to reject everyone one by one. And they're just like, let's get her to the space station. And there's a train, and it's really dumb because he won tickets to the train when he entered the studio for some reason. They have two extra characters with them, Lindsay. Okay.
Random characters?
No, they're two friends. They're two
friends. Oh, okay. Okay.
The whole world, except for these four people, are love zombies. Okay. They decide, because there's only two tickets, only those two should go on the train. And they make this joke, and I appreciated this one. Because later he's just like, you know, no one was really checking tickets at the train. I don't see why they couldn't just have come with us. So they ride this train into space by themselves. Get there. She lets the world down gently. They all snap out of it. The demons begin to attack. And then they're put in this weird infinity spell thing. Where they are stuck and the animation changes and they become really shitty like PlayStation 1 3D graphics. And I was like, what's happening here? And they make reference to it. And I was like, what? What's happening here? And then there's a weird episode, okay, where they go to the animation studio that's making the show and learn how to do animation, but they do animation with the powers from the show. And I was like, what? And then so one guy's like, yeah, I use the digital brush with the pin and I control it. And he's like, and if I hype myself and I use my power big, then I can I can do, like, I can do even faster and more detail and stuff, but it really, it hurts your liver. And they're just like, yeah, so we can't use it all the time because it's like drinking alcohol for 25 years every time you do it. And I was like, what the fuck? So, and the whole episode is at the animation studio. It's like this weird, like, I'm like, we're in the fucking final crunch of this show and you take a break and go to the animation studio? And they're like, yeah, the director, we can't find him. And then they finally find the director. He's like buying anime figures online or some shit. And they come in and just kind of like smack him and then like put him back out there in the field. And he's like, okay, all right, let's do this, this, this. And then the kids try to, the kid, like the jockey guy, not the horse jockey guy. He sees their art and he keeps criticizing it, saying it's not very good every time. So he keeps like making these artists like basically quit the company on site. And so he's like, I'll help, I'll draw. And then he draws it and he gives it to like the quality control person who like redraws stuff that looks bad or just deletes it if it looks really bad. And so he hands it in. She just deletes it right away. She's like, that was terrible. I wish my eyes had never seen it. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? And then he's all defeated. And it's just like, I guess it could have been a funny episode. But then they go back to the space station and the 3D animation gets slightly better. And I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And then he finds some spell and he puts it back to 2D. And I was like, oh, thank God, they looked real fucking ugly. Like real fucking bad. And then he has to like break a 3D mirror spell. It's really dumb. They return to Earth. He like kills a demon instantly. Oh, Doomsday Device. So all the other mega spiritual practitioners join around this Doomsday Device, which is at the school for some reason. It's the only one on the planet. And this old guy who thinks he has the most chi is like there. He's like, rah! And then they send these like fucking demon turds through portals and he's got one like crushing him and he starts to push it back. So they send a second one. So it's like two poop demon pills smashing him and then just smashes him in the Doomsday Device. We never see from that man again. They don't talk about him. They don't show his body. He's just gone from the show. He wasn't a great character anyway, but he's just, he's gone. He's gone. Oh. And then he shows up. He like takes one out real quick. And then the new friend shows up. She's a butterfly girl. And it looks really cool. But then she teleports him away to the demon lord. And
she's a bad guy?
She's one of the enslaved races. And so she was sent there to infiltrate and whatnot. Oh. Because she wants to save her sister. And then the Mysterio guy's there and he's like, oh, you little fucker, you're a twerp. And then they go to kill her friend, her sister. And he stops him. He's just like, nah, Mortal King don't play that way. And then, he like, just like slaps the fucking guy down. Oh, the guy tries to make him kneel, supervisor, Froggy 2's supervisor, tries to make him kneel, and then he just slaps him away. He's just like, yeah, get out of here. And he's like, oh, fuck. And his like, neck's all broken. He's laying all fucked up and crooked. And the Demon King's just like, oh, great show. I love this. I'm going to stand up from my throne for the first time in like a century, a demon century, everyone. So, and then they have like a One Piece fight where the Demon King's like cheeing up as much as he can, but like the Immortal King is just like beating the shit out of him, and he's like, you can't have this much power forever. He's just like, hey, I'm gonna fucking destroy your whole fucking planet. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm gonna take off my seal. He's like, your power is sealed? He's like, yeah, your shit's about to go boom boom, buddy. And then he takes it off, boom, kills the whole fucking demon planet. He's just like, peace. And then he teleports back to Earth with the butterfly girl. And he's sitting there. He's all like strobing out with energy and shit. And she's like, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He's like, hey, you can reach in my pocket and get my phone. Call my father really, really fast before I destroy this fucking planet, too. And I won't be able to teleport us anywhere. And so she's like, oh, shit. Dad. Dad shows up. End of season two. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the whole season?
That's the whole season. You know, she somewhat remembers him now. His sword gets spiritual healing from a bunch of women. And so it just shows the little boy getting a bunch of boobs pressed against his face. And he's like, and yeah, so she remembers, and that's just kind of where it ends. So, yep. It's dumb. It's just so easy to watch that I just keep watching it because you're just like, oh, that's 13 minutes, whatever. What could they possibly do? I don't understand any of this. I'm going to keep. You have to watch the whole fucking season to know what the fuck they're doing because you're just like, I don't know. Like, one, they had like this. They made fun of streamers, I feel like, and they had a demon posing as like a fox girl. And she's making up like the dumbest story of why she needed, like, you can like send spiritual energy to people. And so the jock guy just kept sending all of his spiritual energy. And I was like, what the fuck? And then they went into like a computer battle, and the fat one tried to hack her, and then he ended up blowing up all the computers in the computer lab. And then like Ling, just like punched her through the fucking computer, through the internet. He was just like, boop, and like blew her head up. I was like, what the fuck is happening here? It's just a bunch of crazy things. And then like one of the main villains, he looked like a railroad villain, only like purple. It's like pointy ears. I'm not joking. And I was just like, and he was like hanging with the rich girl's rival family, the ones with the dollar signs shaved in their head. They were just calling him uncle. They're like, hey, uncle, whatever. like he had just been a part of the family forever. I was just like, your uncle's purple and looks like a fucking Muppet version of a railroad villain. What the fuck? You're all cool with that? Whatever. They're like, well, it really helped us with the stock market. I'm like, oh, I guess it all makes sense. So yeah, that's the Daily Life of the Immortal King season two. Season three is currently airing. I've decided just to wait though, because again, it's so fast and easy. Like I watched season two in like maybe 3 days of minimal effort. So it was just like, oh, I'm doing laundry. Oh, I just watched 5 episodes. Wonder what I'll be doing tomorrow when I watch a couple more.
Did it just air or has it been out a while?
I don't really know because it's, I don't know, it's China, so I have no idea when it actually airs or whatever. It's really, like, season three is releasing weekly right now. I think this came out last year, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, wow, that was fast.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, what else you got, Lindsay?
My next one, I'm actually pretty excited about. It's a little Netflix joint called Romantic Killer. And it was good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I went into this being like, whatever. And I ended up loving this.
Okay.
I identify greatly with the main character who, her three great loves are her cat, chocolate, and video games.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, it does. So, those are kind of your three, one of your, well, I mean, I think you have more distinguishing, characteristics than that, Lindsay, but like, you know, I mean, I definitely check those three boxes with you.
So she gets a new game called Romantic Thriller. It's a dating sim. And she's ready to have a weekend full of playing video games, eating chocolate, and hanging out with her cat named Momohiki. And there's all this fine print. And she's like, come on, just start the game already. And Instead, this little wizard who looks like a yellow potato with a hat and a cloak pops out of her TV. And he's like, you know, we're working really hard to address Japan's low birth rate. And I'm here to help you find romance. And first thing we're going to do is take away your three great loves. And her cat.
Whoa, they take away her cat?
Yes. Well, her cat ends up way up high on a shelf and she can't get to him. And he won't come down. And her chocolate turns
dies
to...
and
No. Her parents end up going to America for a job and taking Momohiki with them. And leaving her all by herself. Why would
you... you take the cat over your child?
Yeah, because she's still in school.
The cat's not doing
it. I told
anything,
you.
Okay?
I told you my thing.
I get you. No, I get you, Lindsay. Like, it's not an anime if some kid's not living the fucking alone. We're gonna put your teenage son with someone else's teenage daughter. Will you sign this consent form? Sure. You know what? It'd be good for him. What about for her? I don't know her. I don't care.
So her video games all disappear. She keeps opening up the cases and nothing's in them.
Oh, that's a crime against humanity.
Yes.
Right there. That's
and her chocolate
crime.
Has all been removed. So, like, she had, like, chocolate-covered almonds, and now it's just almonds. And she had Pocky, and now it's just the little breadsticks. Oh. And all the chocolate's gone.
Gross.
Yes.
Unless you like almonds and pretzely breadsticks on their own. And then you're just like, this is fine. I guess, said no one, because that'd be a psychopathic thing to say.
And so she's not on board, and he's like, there was all the fine print, you entered into the contract, there's no going back. Once you push start, it starts.
I'd like to return this game on Steam. They have a return window.
So he's like, you're gonna get all these, you're gonna be surrounded by hotties, and we're gonna create romantic situations for you, and you're gonna fall in love. And yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah?
How many hotties?
There's three.
Only three? That's not
only three. But you've got the cool, aloof guy, you've got the childhood friend, and then you got the rich, snobby kid.
I don't want any rich, snobby kids, okay? I'll take
she doesn't either.
Aloof and childhood friend one. That's fine.
But the best part about the rich kid is he has a chauffeur who's Mr. Paca.
What? Oh,
yes.
All right. Okay.
I heard
okay, I'm
going to
interject here for a second, Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And when they Zazu'd this show, when the yellow potato, as you call them, I'm going to go back to Flintstones. I don't remember his name, but when the little green alien shows up that only Fred Flintstone can see.
Oh, that's right.
I hate that gimmick, okay? And that gimmick runs rampant through all animation for whatever reason, to where it actually has, like, a name that I can't remember. Because when a show hits a point of just, like, running out of ideas, they'll fucking do this just to, like, give it some more legs. And I hate it, okay? And it's a thing I don't like. And so when the first episode did hit, I was like, oh, man, I really like this girl until this fucking yellow potato showed up, but I'm out.
Aww.
I'm out right now. I turned it off. He was so annoying. I was just like, no, I'm not listening to this shit. Fuck you, yellow potato with a cloak. Eat my balls, okay? Eat my balls. I'd rather get a gun than participate in your fucking shit. That's what I did. Didn't see that
one
coming, did.
No. Anyway.
So, but yeah, the fact that you kept going and discovered Mr. Paca is one of the greatest tragedies of all mankind. So, you know. But Mr. Paca loves working on Netflix. I mean, they must be paying him.
Yeah.
It's like, he don't do shit now. He's like, even that ninja show, he's just like, oh, I'll talk a couple times. But, like, you're not getting full Paca, okay? You want full pocket? Pay fucking Netflix money. Okay? Yeah. Anyway. Back to you.
So her scheme is that she is going to thwart all of his attempts to make her fall in love by
good on her.
Yeah. She's like, he'll give up. He's gonna get so so frustrated when nothing works out, he's gonna give up. And then I'll get all my stuff back. I mean, he's
a yellow potato that floats. And only she can see him, I'm assuming.
Only she can see him when he's in yellow potato form. But he does turn into, he turns into a girl and a guy.
That's annoying.
Yeah, very annoying.
Well, when he turns into that girl and the guy, I would just have a knife right when he transforms. But go ahead. Do it.
Do he it. Does have a little wand. And Anzu, the main character, keeps throwing it in poop, and it contaminates it, and he can't use his magic till he purifies it.
Excellent. I would just keep one loaded in the toilet. I'd be like, this is mom and dad's toilet. Yeah. Throwing it in there.
Excellent. So,
anyway, I'm sorry. Just being gross now.
She does actually threaten to drop the wand in the toilet. She goes, my dad's just been in here. You don't want to know what this toilet scene.
Classic dad taking a shit like no one else's shit stinks. Just dad shit. I speak from personal anguish here. I'm like, your mom shit stinks, you know, kids. I just don't run around and go, mom, shit smells, because I'm a decent human being. I'm just saying. Okay.
So, so she runs into Kazuki, who's the cool, aloof guy with the mysterious past.
I hate him already. I hate him for her.
She breaks his phone because she goes to the convenience store because she's like, no way. Oh, okay. So her parents leave, take the cat. So her cat's gone. And her parents are like, you can stay by yourself. No big deal. And she's like, that's not my parents. You've done something. And so it's, you know, his magic that's made them be like, well, yeah, let's leave our teenage daughter home alone.
Get a decent job in America enough to abandon your country and support your daughter financially from abroad. Yeah, yep. I don't know who all these Japanese people that are getting fucking jobs over here, but cool. Can I get a good paying job that I can afford a house in two continents? I'd like that.
And so desperately, she goes to the convenience store looking for chocolate, and they're sold out of every possible thing with chocolate. So she's angry, and she pushes the door open to leave, and she knocks into Kazuki and damages his phone. It breaks and he can't text anymore. And she's like, sorry.
Teenage problems.
And awkwardly runs away. Oh, and when she gets mad, they animate her like a man and her voice gets all deep. Yeah, they do that a lot.
That's why I wanted to watch it. I watched the trailer and I was like, all right, this looks funny. And then that potato showed up. And I was like,
can't do it.
Like, it showed up in the trailer, and I was like, I hope that's a fluke. I hope that's, like, just a once-in-a-while thing. And then it showed up, and I was like, nah, this is a plot point, or plot device. I'm out.
So she's home alone.
I would have been like, hey, you poor-ass motherfucker, only can afford one phone. Sorry, just getting a self-burn there.
So she's all home alone and she sees a cockroach and it's all blurred out. And then this,
of course, why do they do that?
This voice comes on and it says, cockroaches are unseemly, so have some cake instead. And they put a cake overlay over the cockroach and this piece of cake is running around the living room and squeezing under furniture. So, since her parents aren't around to kill the cockroach, she runs screaming from her apartment. Gosh, I think she runs into the guy again.
And she has another childhood sweetheart, her childhood friend?
No, not that childhood friend yet. No, she runs into the aloof guy. Or he sees her hiding. It starts raining. She has no umbrella, of course. So she's on a playground hiding underneath like this slide or something. And he sees her and he goes, are you okay? And she's like, there's a cockroach in my house. And he's like, you want me to kill it? And she's like, yes, please. So he goes and he kills it, but the rainstorm is suddenly turned into like a hurricane, and he goes, it's okay, I've got an umbrella, I'll make it out. And so he opens up her front door and this huge branch comes smashing into the door and he's like, okay, never mind, I guess I'll wait it out.
And she's like, be like, nah, you'll be fine, crawl under it, get out of here.
She's like, I see what the potato is doing. He's trying to create this romantic situation where this guy spends the night, and I'm not gonna let that happen. So she goes to her room. She tucks her pajamas in to her pajama pants and pulls her pants up really high, and of course everything she owns has cats on them. And she puts on her glasses and she messes up her hair and she goes, no romance tonight. And they end up playing cards. Riri, the potato, is named Riri.
Of course it is. Yeah, damn it.
Puts a spell on her to make her sleepy, and she falls asleep on his arm, and he ends up staying the whole night. And then the next morning, he goes back to his place, and then he calls her, and he goes, hey, I've got a problem. My apartment has a leak. And she goes, oh, it couldn't have been that bad. But she goes over to, I think he forgot his lunch or something. They had made lunch together. And she's like, I'll take him his lunch. And she sees his apartment is completely flooded. And it showed the little potato running around with a hose, just squirting everything in his apartment. And then she's like, was anyone else affected? And he goes, no, it's just my apartment that has a leak. And so long story short, he ends up crashing with her. And of course,
where's his mom? Will never.
His parents live elsewhere. And that's all explained in like the last two episodes of why that is.
Yeah.
But, so they end up living together, and he's like, you know, you owe me for the phone, and a month of rent is the cost of a phone, so why don't I just stay, and I can help with the chores and the cooking. And so she goes, oh my gosh, I'll have, he'll do all the cooking, and he's a really good cook. And so she's like, yes, I won't have to do anything. This is great. And then childhood friend enters, which she doesn't recognize, and she thinks some because he goes, I'm your childhood friend, I can't believe you forgot about me, I'm here to walk to school with you. And she was like, he's put some spell on this poor random guy to come here and think that I'm childhood friends with him. But then it turns out that he actually is a childhood friend who had a crush on her. Because he goes, look, I've given you a childhood friend. And he's on easy mode. He already has a secret crush on you. So,
you know, from those video games you like, that one you play.
And, of course, his mom is like, oh, you shouldn't be living all alone. I'll let you borrow him. And his name's Junta. She's like, I'll let you borrow Junta and he'll protect you. So now she's living with two guys. And everyone's like, strangely smells like okay with
dude
it.
Dude in here.
And, yeah.
I wouldn't if that was my teenage daughter. Flying back. Two of them now, huh?
Two of them.
Getting out of control.
And then... As if she didn't need any more, she gets hit by a limo driven by Mr. Paca.
Oh, that bastard.
And inside is the rich, snobby kid.
He's like, did you hit another fucking poor person? God damn it. This is like the third one this week. I'm not made of money, dude. I mean, I am, but like, I'd like to keep some of it. They keep paying these poor people's hospital bills.
And his name's Hijiri, and he's like, you ran out in front of my car on purpose because you're trying to get my attention because you want to go on a date with me. Okay, we hit you. I'll take you out on a date. And she's like,
weird logic.
I don't want any of this.
Not for anything. Do you have any video games? Just call it even if you have some video games.
So, yeah. Well, the kid, or Hijiri, he's like, oh my God, nobody's ever turned me down. This is ridiculous. So he goes to her house.
Oh, of course.
And gives her gifts. All this chocolate. Video game.
Over already.
A new video game system. And he comes with a cat carrier. Well, Mr. Packard comes with a cat carrier of four kittens who just start crawling over everything. And they're really adorable. One's a Scottish Fold. And the potato tells her, hey, if you open yourself up to a possibility of a relationship with this guy, I will let you keep all these gifts. And so, with her heart broken, she packs up all the gifts and tells him to get out.
Good for her.
Because she is still playing this nothing romantic is going to happen card. And either makes a face if she, like, one time she and the cool guy are going to go shopping. And she's like, oh, let me go get ready. And she comes out and she's wearing the same cat shirt, but she just put on jeans. And he's like, all you did was put on jeans. And she goes, yeah, ready to go. And he goes, you can't go shopping. That's what you wear around the house. Let's find something else. And all of her clothes have cats on them, every single one of them. And he goes, there is nothing you can wear. We have to go shopping for you, too. So Riri
is the potato that says that, or
oh. No, it's the cool guy who says that.
I was like, that's the cool guy. Take me as I am. Take me as I am. Okay, motherfucker.
Exactly. So the potato dresses her up and she does look really cute, but she keeps making an ugly face because she doesn't want to look cute. So she's walking around with this and they draw it so funny. But she's walking around with an ugly face and the cool guy goes, will you quit doing that? Oh my God. You look ugly.
Give me back my cat shirt, motherfucker.
But you find out that Anzu, the main girl, is really a very good friend when you're her friend and she'll always have your back. You find that out with her best friend. And you kind of get her backstory a little bit, and then you find out what happened with cool guy, and you find out what happened with childhood friend, and she kind of makes changes with Hijiri. He goes to work at a convenience store because she goes, I'm not accepting any gifts that you buy with your family's money. That doesn't mean anything. If you want to get me something, you have to do it with money earned yourself. And so he gets a job at a convenience store and he buys her. I looked it up. I think it's called Papico. And I looked it up and it is a fermented plum wine. No, not fermented. I'm sorry. It's a plum wine gelato in a squeeze tube. And it comes in two. And you break them apart and then you like eat them. And it just sounded really, really weird.
Yeah. It does. There's nothing else I can say to that. It just does. Let me guess. They share them.
They share them. And she kind of, she has this moment. She's like, oh, you know, he's not too bad. She goes, oh my God, I'm falling into the trap. This was a huge mistake. But I don't want to really spoil the ending because I do think it was a fun watch. I did kind of tear up a little bit at the end. They did leave off and it said to be continued ? And
they were like, Netflix.
I'm kind of
you lost a lot of money.
I kind of hope they don't do it. Because I thought it was fine on its own. And then a small part of me hopes they do because it was funny. Lindsay. And I really enjoyed it.
Money, money, money.
And Mr. Packer was in it.
The answer to all questions is usually those three answers.
Money, money, money or money?
Money, money. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you've convinced me, because I actually talked about that a little bit with my brother, and I was like, yeah, don't bother watching it. It seemed real shitty. Because, again, I brought up the whole Flintstone thing.
Right.
And you might have convinced me to give it another chance to watch past that. But I swear to God, if he gets too annoying, I'm out. I don't care.
He is really annoying.
I'm out. Never mind. I take it back.
But maybe there's a lot of violence. She does kick and punch him a lot and throw him out the window constantly to the point where he's like, again?
Again, it's not enough if it doesn't actually cripple him. So, he can just magic himself back into the situation.
Yes, and he does.
No, never mind. I'm out.
But he's a potato.
Yeah, I fucking hated him. I was just like, wow, lazy animation much? Fucking ass. Hard pass. You don't want to spoil it for us?
No. You have to watch it. Yes.
I'll never watch it. I'll wait till someone else watches it, and then I'll ask them. Like, tell me what Lindsay wouldn't.
Yeah.
Or I'll just ask Twitter. I'm like, hey. I know this is a dying platform, quote-unquote, news bite, but anyone watch this? Can you just tell me the ending? And, like, the one person that's still there on the ghost town that is Twitter, quote-unquote, will just be like, yeah, this is the ending. And then 13,000 other people will also answer the same question. Weird. But the media was always right. Hey, sorry, I got geopolitical on you all. Sorry about that. Sorry. I don't like clickbait articles. Multi-million dollar companies.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anything else to say about what was the title again? I don't remember it now.
Romantic Killer.
Romantic Killer.
Yep.
Maybe Romance Killer would have been
more. Probably.
Better.
Probably. In the theme song, it's got the game and it's the game is Romantic Thriller, and she crosses it out and writes Killer.
Mm. All right, then.
Maybe that's why they did that. But anyways, it was fun. It was funny. I enjoyed it. Give it a watch. Back to you, Dustin.
Thank you, Lindsay.
You're welcome.
I don't know why I said that. I'm losing my mind. The last thing I have to talk about, Lindsay, is Chainsaw Man.
Ah. Sadly, I have not kept up on this, even though I really want to.
Maybe I'll convince you to watch it. I'll try to. There's not really a whole lot to spoil, if I'm honest.
I have to admit, I don't know if this spoils anything that you were going to say. But when I was looking up Mr. Packer's credits, just to make sure that that was definitely him that I heard.
About to spoil it.
All right.
Because I don't think he's been in it yet, Lindsay.
Okay.
Or if he is, I missed it. I don't recall hearing his voice, so.
He's supposed to be in two episodes, so maybe you have something to look forward to.
Okay. I think that means I probably missed an episode or missed a voice because the newest one they introduced or had some other characters show up. So maybe it was one of the voices. Maybe
Just
didn't hack it up as much or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, another reason for me to watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's good, everyone. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Anime of the season? I don't know. I mean, it's no Eminence in the Shadow, okay? Like, I've been jonesing for... I had a week off from anime due to traveling, and I'm after this episode's over, I'm watching Eminence in the Shadow. I got my brother hooked on it from talking to him. He's addicted to watching it. He's like, I don't know. I think I might just let some episodes build up. I was like, good luck, sucker. You know you can't. You need that fucking... That's me tapping a vein right now. That's me tapping a vein because I need it. But, I mean, there's a lot of good shows. This one is unique in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things I like about it. There's things they've introduced that I like even more. I like that our character's motivation is basically just, you know, what every teenage boy's is, touching boobs, making out, you know? That's...
Oh, that's right!
Yeah. So, episode 2, he goes with, whatever the fuck her name is. Everyone knows their name, so I don't even care. I'm not even gonna fucking try. Pink-haired, pinkish-orange hair girl. He goes with her. They get some food. She's like, come be my dog. And I didn't like that. I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that. But she's like, come work for the public sector of the demon hunters. And she pairs him with this top-knot guy. He has like... Just has his hair sticking up all weird. It's different. But, and then, like, their first adventure together is just, like, living with each other. And he's just doing all the things he told Poochie. What was the dog's name? Yeah, it's Poochie now. Whatever. Tell him Poochie. So he's trying, like, bread with jam on it, you know, just jamming out. That's his favorite thing.
Is the dog still with him, like, in his heart?
It's still... They said someone has like a good nose and said that they can still smell demon on him, but that it's like demon and human. So he's kind of like maybe the first of his kind is what it turns out.
Okay.
But he's just living with Top Knot guy, and Top Knot tells him basically, if you've just joined up to, you know, chase after her, then like fuck off. And he beats the shit out of him in an alleyway.
Oh.
And so...
that a little gentle hazing?
Nope.
Oh.
He also has a crush on Orange Hair.
Oh. Dude.
But also, he doesn't want a partner that's just going to fucking die or, you know, get in his way because he's not serious about the job. He feels like you have to be serious about the job. Well, what's his name? Denki? Shit, man.
Denji?
Not Benji. It's definitely not Benji. Did I
say Benji? Denji.
Denji. Oh, then I misheard you. I'm sorry. Because you're probably right. But let me double check for my own. Denji.
Oh, yeah. I was right.
You were absolutely right. I heard you say Benji, though.
Okay.
Makima is the orange-haired girl. Since okay. I had to pull it up anyway, I'm just going to go off of it. And Aki is our top knot guy.
Okay.
So he and Aki are fighting in the alleyway. And Denji tells Aki, he's like, you know how I know you're a nice guy? Because when I fight, I only kick in the balls. And he kicks him in the balls. And he drops him to his knees. And Aki gets up and starts talking more shit and punches him again. And Denji kicks him again in the balls and drops him again. And he's just like, fuck, you weren't joking about that. He's like, I don't joke about kicking in the balls. And kicks him. His butt is up in the air and he kicks him. Fucking Charlie Brown fucking going for the ball.
Oh, loses no. Hand.
One more time in the balls. And then they go back to her and he's just like, I can't fucking work with this guy. And she's like, yeah, you're going to live with each other. So. And then they introduce Power, who is a fiend, who's like a devil that, I don't know. I didn't really understand the explanation. She's not quite like Denji. She's not quite like the devils that are out there. She's a fiend. She's like an animated corpse, I guess, in a way.
Hmm.
But, like, it's weird. I don't know. And She was a blood devil, is how they put it. And she's paired with Denji, and they go out patrolling for demons, and they make a huge mess of shit. And then...
how did they make a mess?
She sledgehammered a demon with her blood hammer and shot the guts everywhere. And you're supposed to be... They're supposed to be discreet because he's a chainsaw man and she's a fiend. And I guess most fiends aren't as obvious because they don't have like horns growing out of their head, but she does. So, oh, I skipped a part where Aki and Denji go to kill a fiend who's killed his whole family. And Denji kind of feels sorry for the guy and kind of peacefully kills him. And Aki is just like, what the fuck's wrong with you feeling sorry for like a demon or whatever? And he's just like, well, you know, just imagine it be more stress for the family or whatever. You know, just some excuse. And then he leaves and he's just like, and I didn't want to get blood on these porno mags. And so he takes the porno mag. But Aki's like, everyone has a goal of why they're here. And like, he's already achieved his. He's got room and board and good food, you know? So he's like, I need a new goal. And then he looks at the porno mags. He's like, I want to touch a boob. And so that becomes his motivation. That's what drives him, is that he wants to touch a boob. So he's helping, or he's talking to Power, and he's trying to make it work, because if they don't figure it out, they're going to get killed. And so Power's like, I had a boob goal once. not exact words, but... You know, basically. And she's like, yeah, I had a cat, but this other demon took it. And that's why I'm here, is because they took my cat. And her cat was named like Maui, like meow with a Y, meowing.
Oh.
And she's like, the cat, she just found the cat when she was out like killing all these giant fucking animals everywhere and eating them. And then the cat just kept following her. And then it was just her cat. And it shows her when she was like in like, free Roman free, and she's just like a muddy naked girl. And we're just like, ugh. And so he's like, okay, I'll help you get your cat if you let me touch your boob. She's like, yeah, all right. And he's just like, fuck yes. So they go out together, and they go to this like weird abandoned farmhouse, and he's just like, why is the demon here with your cat? And then she clubs him with a small blood mallet, and he almost dodges it. She's like, you got good instincts. And then she takes him in, and she's like, here's a human for you to feast on. And it's this giant like bat devil. It looks badass. Like, it looks like Wingnut kind of from Ninja Turtles, but without the gear on. And he's like, that fucking human smells like shit. Mm-hmm. But I'll eat it. Like, he eats his like arm.
Power was double crossing him?
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh.
To get her cat.
Okay. Okay. Well, he offered to help.
Yeah. So Denji's fucking on too many fucking. I've been talking My Hero Academia with my niece like all week, so I just wanted to Deku. Just like, fuck. Anyway, so he eats Denji's arm. And his arm grows back, and he's just like, that blood was gross, but I feel fucking powerful. I'm going to go eat another human. And she's just like, hey, give me back my cat. He's just like, yeah, you brought me a gross human. I'm going to eat your cat. And then he's like, I'm going to eat you. So he eats both of them. And then Denji's just like, you fucking bat devil motherfucker, you ate my arm. So he chases him down, and then he, you know, pulls the cord, rip, 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 turns into Chainsaw Man. They smash into a building. And Denji, you know, Aki doesn't trust him, but like after the sequence where he basically, you know, protects all the humans, tells them to run, tells them to get out of the way, fucking saves several of them during this fight. And eventually he fucks up this bat guy real bad, and they are able to save his arm, and also Power is saved, and so is the cat. They're not digested, but they are like real fucked up from being inside his stomach. And then the bat devil's girlfriend wife person shows up, and it's a worm devil, and it is disgusting. Like, just disgusting. And he's just like, all right, well, round two, all I have is my head one. Because like when he starts to lose a lot of blood, because the chainsaws use a lot of his blood, the chainsaws go back in his body. So he just has his face one. And like he's doing what he can. But then Aki shows up, and then we get to see, I guess all devil hunters have made pacts with other devils. And it kind of keeps those devils from being at bay, you know, like running amok in the world. And then, but you have to give up something. So Aki has a deal with the fox devil. And every time he uses it, he has to give up like some of his skin or something. So he has like all these bandages on his arms because he had the fox devil show up and eat the head of the worm devil. And then they're almost killed, but because they got such good results, and now Power is sent to live with the boys as well, and she is like a wild animal. And I'm saying something because Denji had never lived indoors before, but she's like, they keep telling, like, it's funny because he's just like, Aki's just like, what did you do to the toilet? He's like, you're fucking gross. He's just like yelling behind her or behind him, like, you fucked up the toilet. I need that thing. I love that toilet, you know? And then she's just like, all right, you can feel my boob. Like, she corners him when he's cleaning the toilet, ironically. And he's all excited. She's like, I've decided you get 3 squeezes. Originally, I wasn't gonna honor our deal, but I'll give you 3 squeezes. And I forget the reasons. Only one was for saving the cat, and the other two were for other reasons.
Saving her?
And so he, I think so, but I don't remember what the third one was. And then, so he squeezes, and he's like, this feels weird. And then, like, these boob cups come out, because she's pretty flat-chested. And she's like, aren't they great? Like, you have no boob, and then you have boob. and then he keeps just, like, squeezing, and just, he's just, like, super disappointed. So now his goal's been fulfilled, and it was disappointing. So now he's just, like, doesn't know what to do. And so he goes back to Makima, and she's having him do all this paperwork from the incident, and he's, like, mumbling. And she's like, what's the matter? He's like, well, I finally got to touch a boob, and it was disappointing. I just it's so hilarious, because it's like there is all this anticipation and build up to boob touching. And if the moment is just wrong, then it's just you're left with disappointment. I'm just going to say that. And so she's just like, well, it's not really about just touching a boob. It's about the situation for the boob. And then she, like, just goes on this, like, sexual offense towards him and gets him all flustered, and then just puts his hand on her boob, and she's just like, lets him grope her boob, and he's just like, oh my god. And then he's all, you know, happy again. And so then his next goal is to kiss a girl. And so that's his new goal in life is to kiss a girl.
You would you'd think it'd be easier to kiss a girl than grab a boob.
I mean, I guess, but kissing's more. I mean, he wants a tongue kiss, though, so.
Oh, okay.
Not like a, you know, not like a little quick peck or anything.
Okay.
Wants some tongue. Which I will now spoil for you. So then they go, they fight another demon. We meet some other characters that are part of the same division, and one of them's Aki's old partner. She's missing an eye, and she has a ghost devil where she can, like, use a ghost hand. And she's like, I will give a kiss to whoever can kill the demon first inside. I'm not going to really spoil all that. I think that's really good and worth watching. It's very interesting and stuff. Also, he and Power develop this weird brother-sister type friendship where she just, like, hangs on him all the time. And he has, like, no response to anything she does. And they're, like, just mouthing off and shit. And then Aki's like, here, I'll give you gum if you both shut up and listen. And they're like, thank you, Mr. Aki, sir. Like, they totally changed their... And they're just like, ha, we got gum. And the other two new recruits are like, what the fuck is wrong with those two? So I'm going to fast forward through all that. That, it's good. It's worth watching. The way he kills the demon is amazing and awesome. And so then they're all getting drinks to have, like, this celebratory meeting of like everyone in the division meeting each other. And the head chick, Makima, shows up, and Aki has a question about Denji, because the demon, the last demon they fought, seemed to know him and knew it couldn't kill him and was trying to get them to kill him. And so he's like, what do you know about his situation? And she's like, I will answer your question if you can outdrink me, which no one does, which I was like, oh, damn. But then the eye patch chick, like, Denji asks, he's like, when do I get my kiss? And so when she shows up, he's like, oh, I don't want the kiss anymore. But then she's like, are we going to kiss? He's like, oh, yeah, I want the kiss. And she's like, what's this about a kiss? He's like, ah, he keeps trying to change the subject and stuff. But then she just totally, the eye patch chick, when she gets really sloshed, just starts tongue kissing him, and the animation's great, and he's like, this tastes warm, and it's like filling my mouth, and then she barfs in his mouth.
Oh
yeah. And he swallows.
Oh!
And then it shows a flashback to when he and the Poochie were eating like garbage food, and they see a rat eating vomit off the floor, and he's just like, fucking horrible mammals. And then he's all sad because he ate vomit, and his first kiss was filled with puke, and he's like puking in the toilet. This one guy's trying to help him feel better, and yeah. So and then I forgot the whole prelude to all this. So there's a gun devil, and he shot a bullet that killed like a million people in one blast across the whole planet. And so there's like all these people that want revenge on the gun devil. And they keep finding pieces of his body, which are bullets. And when you have enough, you can like track him down. And so Mamika has pretty much promised to do whatever with Denji if he kills the gun devil. So he's that's his long-term goal now, is to kill the gun devil so he can have sex with her and do whatever he wants.
Boy, they know what carrot to dangle, don't they?
They do, yeah. But I love his just childhood fantasy wish fulfillment. He's just not a very deep character, but I like him. So it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. So,
well, I still want to watch it. I still plan on watching it.
I'm leaving out like a bunch, even though I'm telling you a bunch of the good stuff. There's still just like so much good dialogue and stuff that I'm not even going to bother trying to recapture it. Like when they live with each other, it's really good. So.
Awesome.
So that's Chainsaw Man. So if you, for some reason, were not watching it like Lindsay, then hopefully I get your reason. But really, I'm pretty sure most people are watching this shit.
So. I foolishly did not.
I did ask if I could talk about it. So
yes. No. You're totally fine.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like
for
the,
not keeping up.
No, there's a lot of good shows this season, I'll say. But I mean, I like the devil hunting aspect of it, and having like the private and public sector and all this stuff, and this whole like gun devil thing. I think that's interesting because like they basically explain it of like there's a gun devil, and this terrorist attack happened, so everyone was afraid of guns, so it fed him, and then people became more afraid of guns because there was more gun violence because of the fear, and so it just kept perpetuating, and so. The way she explains it, she's like, if there's a coffee devil, it has no power because no one's afraid of coffee, you know? Like, and I just thought that was, like, really cool.
Oh.
Like, that's how it works of, like, oh, people are afraid of bats, so that devil makes sense. People don't like worms. They're yuck. They're gross. Worm devil, you know? So it's, like, interesting.
Oh.
So, people don't like blood. Blood devil makes sense. You're just like, it was just like, oh, okay. I guess people kind of were afraid of chainsaw dogs.
So. Pochita.
Poochie.
Okay, Poochie.
I'm calling it Poochie from now on. Stole it from Simpsons. It works for everything. Anytime a dog character is introduced, it's Poochie. So. But yeah, That's so recheck it out, everyone. AKA Lindsay.
Okay.
That's all I got. You got anything else, Lindsay?
No. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you for listening. We very much appreciate it. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode. You may or may not have some fun stuff coming up. Lies, we do.
Yeah, we're taking it easy during the holidays, though, so like, cut us some slack, all right? It's fucking busy.
Yeah. Lots of cakes to make.
That's her excuse. I just got shit to do.
You can follow us on social media, Let's Anime Podcast. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Dustin, take us out.
Anime? God, I forgot, Lindsay.
Oh, I'm going to tell her. I'm not going to. その胸